Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Lombardi may have been lifted, but that doesn't mean there's no football to talk about. It's the offseason, and there's no better way to stay up to date with the latest from our league than with the Around the NFL podcast. Join me, Dan Hensis, and my buds, Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal, for news and fresh content all offseason long. From the start of free agency, where we'll break down familiar faces headed to new places, to the next generation of superstars walking across that stage at the NFL draft, we have you covered. Listen to the Around the NFL podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Heed the call.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL draft is right around the corner, and the Move the Six podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. The show's hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks.
When it comes to Detroit and the draft, Move the Sticks is the podcast that will answer all of your questions. Who should you put in your mock draft? Don't worry, tune in and you'll be ready to watch the draft like a scout.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to More To It, the show that takes a deep dive into the biggest stories in sports, entertainment, and culture. Start with headline news and then journey to deeper conversations. Always finding those life lessons that are presented in every single story. I'm your host, Marcellus Wiley. That dude!
Not T.O. I know I'm looking like Terrell Owens right now. Oh, man. Who else I look like from the old school? Teddy Pendergrass or something right now? Yo, there is a good reason why I've went Hollywood, and I'll tell you that in just a second. But I'm still feeling all right. I'm not feeling amazing today. Can't lie to you because, boy, when I tell you why, y'all going to say, oh, damn, Sal, you got a football player's mentality. You just fight through anything. And yes, I do. But let's get the show started off with what's up with that dude. Well, yesterday we had Memorial Day, so decided to do something for the foundation slash the family and have a pickleball pool party and invite some kids over, invite some families over, and let them all just marinate over here while we order up the Domino's. That's right. 2023, you come to our Memorial Day party, it ain't no barbecue. It's strictly Domino's on that pre-order, easy order, as they call it already. Woo, I can know, my grandma is turning over in her grave right now, because that lady, for Memorial Day, I think she will start getting the meat seasoned around Valentine's Day, like, and be in the backyard every day for months, just waiting for Memorial Day barbecue. I'm not gonna lie, part of me is sad because those traditions feel lost in my family. Not so certain yours, but as I get older, obviously, the older people, our elders are gone, most of them. And the few remaining here, they really rely on the younger kids to keep the stuff going, right? They may infuse it in the culture, but to get the stuff going and actually do it, it's on us, those nearing 50 or even younger. So I'm a little guilty right now because I'm not doing my best job of keeping these family traditions and values going. No family reunion, no barbecue at the damn Memorial Day party. I'm over here slipping. Well, let me tell you why I'm wearing these glasses, because I think my immune system got caught slipping. I hate to tell y'all all my business, so I'm just going to tell y'all this and not all my business. I have pink eye. Yes. I have pink eye. Oh my God. If I were to lift these glasses right now, or if I were to post what I saw, or I guess I didn't see last night, because my eyelids were sealed shut with mucus. Yeah, that part. Last night, just yesterday, was so weird and random. Everybody was clowning me around the house at the party saying, dog, did you wash your face today? Because I kept having a little mucus, little eye boogers here and there. And it's funny, a couple of days ago, my daughter had it for like a few hours, and I didn't even think twice about it. Well, it finally caught up with me last night. I went to bed, all right, but just a little preoccupied. Why in the hell I got so many eye boogers? I know I washed my face. I ain't got a pretty enough face to not wash it, right? And then I woke up in the middle of the night, woo, Lord, I don't wish this on anybody. But hey, as they say in football, if you can still play, get your ass out there. So I can still talk, so I'm right here for y'all right now. All right, since I can talk, let's talk about Kendrick Perkins and his hot take. One thing I used to hate when I worked in major media is you'll come in there, there's an intern there that's supposed to do all the dirty work, that is working for an assistant producer, that's working for the head producer, that's working for the coordinated producer, that's working for the manager, whatever. And everybody's just trying to get a hot take. And I'm like, what's a hot take? And I hate it. It just sounds corny, even saying a hot take. You mean what I think about this damn question? That's a hot take? Well, Kendrick Perkins had a hot take. Ooh, I'm over here shaking. He said that the Celtics not winning the championship this season will be the end of the Tatum-Brown duo. I remind you that the leader of that duo is Jason Tatum, my son's favorite player. Seems like all the itty-bitties are now either with Steph Curry or they starting to slant over there towards Jason Tatum. Watch out, y'all. Yeah, Ja Morant, you missed out with your gunplay. So the kids are switching over from Steph Curry because they know he's getting a little old and he ain't shimmying as much because he's old right now. And they look at Jason Tatum, they're like, whoa, that's a sweet game. He's only 25 years young. And the magic age in the NBA for winning your first championship seems to be 27, because that's when a lot of the greats first got their first championship, including Michael Jordan. So to me, it's a rash reaction. It's kind of fast to say that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown must be broken up already. But let's get into the story. Well, he said that they won't be teammates again unless they win the title, because they already been to the finals before and lost. And he ain't care about what they did in that game 7 that we saw them get beat up and blown out in, right? So, doesn't matter what happened in the results of that if it's not a championship. Here's his quote. If Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum don't get to the finals and complete the mission, I believe this year will be the last time we will see those guys together. I don't give a damn what they say. What does he say at the end of his tweets? I forget it. Perk out? No, he said, carry on. That's right. All right, so that is a hot take. Interesting. Well, let's see how hot it is. Well, Tatum ain't going nowhere. You already know that because he's Jason Tatum. You are not giving away the centerpiece of your franchise. So Tatum stays still. But let's talk a little bit about Jaylen Brown. Is he going somewhere? There's been some conversations, some rumblings that he could be on the move this summer, due for an extension. But the guard would get paid more if he stayed with Boston. See how they rigged the game right there? They rigged your loyalty, basically, by saying, we'll pay you more, you stay still. In part because they don't want all this player movement, which leads to player empowerment, which leads to something that they can't properly control. So I do understand the incentives there. But if you're Jason Tatum, you're looking like, what's going to happen with Jaylen Brown? Brown resigns with the Celtics. He gets 5 years, $295. Even Courtney, my ear said, whoops. I got a little chill on that one too, a little shiver. Anywhere else he goes, 4 years, $185 million, right? 1 year, basically $110 million difference. So if you do the math, including the logical math, not just the math by addition, yeah, logically it sounds like he's going to stay right there, stay still. It's too much money to leave. So while Perk certainly has a point about Brown and Tatum failing to finally bring a title back to Beantown, even though they're still young enough where that's okay, you can't look past their success, but you also can't say that this team can get over the hump with those two right now as their centerpieces. So what's going to happen? The only way that you can see this happening, Tatum and Brown splitting up, is when he's a free agent. And that's when that's 2024 for my man Jaylen Brown. All right, so now they're reporting it's a very good chance that he stays with the Celtics. Duh. And a lot of more conversation about how to make this work. And is head coach Joe Mazzulla the man for the job? My questions to you are, do you think he stays still or do you think he's dipping? Do you think he's going to take less money just to be the alpha, to be the man, to be the number one instead of the 1B or the 2 to Jason Tatum? And when is good good enough, right? Like, y'all, damn good team, but I guess winning it all ain't good enough either. Greatness is not good enough either. Look, Nick Nurse just got a new job. Budenholzer, those guys have won championships recently, including everybody in the last 8 years, but Steve Kerr has lost their job winning the championship. So to chase a championship is to not chase security, which makes no sense. I hate the game when it's no objective scoreboard. I hate the game when it's just subjective, especially when the game doesn't reward success. Even if it's that close, it still should be rewarded. Thanking you for your viewership on Brinks TV and Reese TV and your membership in the Wally's World on YouTube, where someone's going to win this on Friday in our swag away. We're going to give this up. Swag away. That's right. A limited edition Dallas Cowboys practice intramural. What else we got? Inner squad game worn participation award jersey for Marcellus Wiley in his 1 year at the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones touched this before. Bill Parcells touched this before. So don't act like it's just a Wiley jersey, girl. It's a lot more than that. All right, let's talk about something right now. Some friendly fire in the sports media community right now. Well, we got Sam Ponder and her support for fairness in women's sports being called plain old bigotry. All right. Get the story out there. So we know who Sam Ponder is, and she came under fire as her support for keeping women's sports fair and equal was the subject of an opinion column from USA Today's Nancy Armour. Ooh, I've read a lot of her articles. This is going to be interesting. Ponder and fellow ESPN colleagues say still, we know where we're going. If they bring Sage into it, you know you're about to get the red pill, as they say in The Matrix, have voiced their support for Riley Gaines, who has taken the reins to lead the cause for transgender athletes to participate in sports against the gender they were born as instead of the gender they identify as. Y'all caught that? The way you were born is how you participate, not the way you identify. Well, I'm born and raised in Compton, right? So let's take that same mindset, that same tone. Born and raised, born and played. I was born a man, I played against men, all right? So I understand where she's coming from with this one. All right. Gaines has been at the forefront since she tied with Leah Thomas in the NCAA championship in 2022. You guys know that story. So Ponder spoke about the issue again after Gaines tweeted the messages she received about transgender high school runners participating in the girls' division in California. Quote, I barely said anything publicly about this issue, and I've had so many people message me, stop me in the street to say thank you, plus tell me stories about girls who are afraid to speak up for fear of lost employment, being called hateful. It is not hateful to demand fairness in sports for girls. That's what Ponder tweeted. However, Armour called Ponder's words plain old bigotry in her column. Quote, don't be fooled by the people who screech about fairness to cloak their bigotry toward transgender girls and women. The transgender girls and women who have the audacity to want to play sports in particular. This is and always was about hate, fear, and ignorance. All right. I disagree with that right now. I think even those hyperbolic terms right there are ignorant, but we'll discuss that right now. Armour particularly took issue with Ponder choosing to speak out about this issue rather than talk about how girls and women's sports don't have equitable funding with boys and men. Ah, y'all see what she's doing right now? She's saying, why are you talking about this issue right here, talking about fairness and equality? We have another fairness and equality issue over here you're not talking about. Ah, well, maybe Sam is not talking about that because they are not apples to apples. They're apples to oranges. Both fruit, but different. So here's the quote. Did Ponder use her platform to express outrage at any of this? She's over there talking about the equitable funding with boys and men. Urge her nearly 500,000 followers on Twitter to write or call their representatives and ask that women be given the funding and opportunities they rightfully deserve? Did she publicly participate in any of the many excellent documentaries, videos, and commentary ESPN did to commemorate the 50th anniversary of Title IX last year, or even tweet about them? Oh, no, she did not. Her public concern about fairness for female athletes starts and stops with the minuscule number of transgender women who are participating in sports. Wow, she went there. Now, you can tell she's a journalist. Hey, look. When somebody's right, somebody's right. Somebody's wrong, somebody's wrong. I think she's wrong, but damn it, she knows how to write. Did y'all catch that? Okay, So Armour accused Ponder of putting transgender people in further danger with her tweets by further amplifying the boogeyman that cisgender women's participation in sports is being threatened by transgender girls and young women. Armour concluded that Ponder's opinions have nothing to do with fairness. All right. So Sam Ponder hasn't defended herself yet, but I'll take the duty for her right now. Unfair to come at Sam Ponder when she's coming at the whole situation and trying to find a fair and equitable response. Let's remind everyone what my stance is on this issue. The way you were born is the way that you're going to participate. Socially, you are able to identify any way you want to. It is your right, and it is a human rights conversation to talk about transgender socially. But when we start talking about participation in sports, it's not based on that. You got to know that it's going to be based off the birth, and it has to be based off your cisgender status. Natural men participate against natural men for one reason. There's a different physical ceiling for men and women that has been biologically proven. So when is this going to be a fair and balanced discussion, not poisoned with fear factor? Because anytime you speak sensibly about this or respectfully about this, but you oppose what others think, they throw that fear factor at you to silence you, to scare you, and all those fear tactics. So that's not fair. And you know what's interesting about this conversation? Why don't we have a balanced and fair discussion? Why aren't we having this conversation about transgender men competing against men? Because they're not taking advantage of men. A transgender man is now being looked at as that's not your advantage because you're going against men with a higher physical ceiling, right? So let's just remove the fear tactics, the name calling, and just have a real sensible discussion on this. If you don't want to create another category, like men have a category, women have a category, Special Olympians have a category, transgenders have a category, then we're going to have to make sure that we're being sensible and logical in this conversation. I just know, being a man, my physical ceiling is just too high. And frankly, my physical floor is still too high to compete against naturally born women. If that is hatred, and if that is ignorance, then I'm ignorant, and I know I'm not. Over here thanking you for your viewership on Brinks TV and Reese TV and your membership on YouTube and Wally's World, where someone's going to win this free swag away on Friday. Yes, I just sent out a Buffalo Bills jersey, sent out a San Diego Charger old school throwback jersey, and now this Dallas Cowboys limited edition NFL stamped jersey from your boy is coming your way on Friday. Free swag away. Look forward to that. All right. Don't look forward to this story because I hope it's not true, but let's talk through the Lakers and LeBron James posting that cryptic IG story, quoting Jay-Z amid his retirement rumors. Hope he doesn't retire. Ball to your fall. That's what I want to see. But the Lakers star, we know who LeBron James is, continued his cryptic offseason about his future in the NBA. While it's all kicking into gear, we're still watching teams try to fight for that Larry O'Brien trophy to be the champion of the league. But a lot of the headlines get stolen when LeBron James says anything about his future. So in an Instagram story, the four-time MVP pulled a lyric from Jay-Z, from Duke Jay-Z. What more can I say? Which is a banger. That seemingly teased the idea of his retiring. Quote, I'm supposed to be number one on everybody's list. We'll see what happens when I no longer exist. Damn. Let me say that cleaner, like Jay-Z would. I'm supposed to be number one on everybody's list. We'll see what happens when I no longer exist. Golly. Woo! LeBron wants to feel the love. Who do you love? He wants some of that YG mixed with that Jay-Z. He is not feeling the love. He is playing with our emotions. I know damn well he ain't about to retire. Or is he? All right, so after the Lakers lost in the West Conference Finals, we know that James admitted he was unsure about whether he returned for a 21st season in the NBA. That's a whole lot of. He said, we'll see what happens going forward. I don't know. I got a lot to think about, to be honest, just for me personally going forward with the game of basketball. All right. So now it's been reports that there's widespread skepticism. James will walk away when he signed for 2 years and $97 million. Uh-oh. Now, Dave McMiniman, my dog, DMC, also said a source close to James believes the Lakers star will indeed be back for number 21 and fulfill his contract. I think DMC got this right. So until he makes his decision, probably won't be the last time LeBron James cryptically goes into his IG and his story on social media to entertain the speculation. So what's really going on right here? What's the psych play for LeBron James? I do know this, no matter what your endeavor is, when you start getting closer to the end, you start to put yourself in those situations. You try to really envision yourself going through those circumstances. And this is kind of normal. Let's talk through it. There were some opportunities when they were talking to me at Fox to do other shows. And with those other shows, I had to start to envision, did I want to really leave that or did I want to do those other shows? So to do that, I start living it out through not only my mentals, but my whole family dynamic, my whole physical experience. So I really start acting like I wouldn't be here for that because I would be there doing that show. I start acting like, oh, I will be over there at this time instead of here with the family. And you start living that out just to see if you're really built for that. So LeBron is going through a smart exercise of seeing what retirement will look like to LeBron, right? And he's doing that for us to consume. Why? So much of LeBron has been built up based on us and our consumption of his greatness, right? And LeBron is also trying to basically get a leg up on Michael Jordan. And there's no way you get a leg up on Michael Jordan without talking your talk, without walking that walk, without actually being the squeaky wheel. Why? Because Michael Jordan grew up in an era with limited exposure to him. We only saw him outside of NBA games on Inside the NBA with Ahmad Rashad on a Saturday morning randomly. Remember that? And other than that, he was just the man of mystique. Like, wow, wow. So less was more for Michael Jordan. Therefore, he got the most out of his aura. He got the most out of his presence by being absent from the public's mind. Well, LeBron James couldn't do that if he tried. So what does he have to try to do? Lean into the fact that he is everywhere all the time because of social media. Memes, stuff that he says, the comments back on him, every shot he takes, he trends. So LeBron James, instead of fighting that, remember early in his career, trying to be Batman, and then all of a sudden he tried to be the villain and the Joker when he went to Miami. Then he just came to realize, you know what? I got to just be LeBron James and lean into all the things that I desire, which includes I am always going to be accessible. So he's leaning into, like, you know how the albums used to come out once a year? Like, oh, I got a big album coming out once a year. And then, like, around Tupac era, around No Limit era, they were coming out like once a week. Like, these same artists was just putting out content. So we know now content is king. LeBron James knows content is king. And if he wants to be the GOAT, if he wants to truly be King James in a sport where we have King Michael Jordan, he's going to continue to poke at us to make sure that we're paying attention to his greatness. So that's what's going on. And he's a human being like everybody else. Who do you love? He wants to feel that love. Every response, every comment, every show like me that talks about LeBron James, he's hoping closes that gap or helps him surpass the real king in y'all eyes or the GOAT, Michael Jordan. Thank you for your viewership, Brinks TV, Reach TV, membership, Wiley's World on YouTube. Who's winning this on Friday at the free swag away? Who's getting this one all tatted up, personalized, autographed from your boy? You know, the Cowboys legend himself, Marcellus, you know what's funny? They do call us legends because we're not Hall of Famers necessarily. But if you're the alum of a team, you're called a legend. So last year I went out for the Chargers and walked out on the field and they announced us the Chargers legends. I was just looking around like, when do we walk out? It was hilarious. LT, go out there. Gates, go out there. I'll stay back here right now. You know what I mean? All right, let's get into the story. Well, Mike Florio calls out NFL.com for falsely crediting Ian Rapoport on his Jimmy G scoop. Ooh, Florio reported that Jimmy G's contract with the Vegas Raiders had to be dramatically reworked because the veteran quarterback reportedly failed his physical with his new team.
Ooh.
So the rework contract includes a waiver, which according to Florio, had to be included. Otherwise, Jimmy G would not have passed the team's physical. Ah, y'all caught that? Basically, they're like, yeah, you can pass this physical, but we're still watching that foot. And that foot can mess all this stuff up. Don't lie. So because of a pre-existing medical and middle cuneiform and a fracture of the base of the second metatarsal in the player's left foot, basically his foot is messed up. Yeah, his foot messed up. And that the club would not enter into an NFL player contract with player, the waiver read. That line is important. More on that to follow. Okay. I actually broke my foot. I had a Jones fracture. So, you know, mine's much simpler than yours, Jimmy G. Just side of my foot. Whop. 6 weeks, came back. Only needed two. All right. So let's get into this. This is a pretty big deal because no one would expect that the fellow NFL reporters who either confirmed or aggregated the news would credit Florio, right? Ooh, well, not quite. Around the NFL, which is the league's digital media hub, y'all know that show, credited its own insider, NFL Network's Ian Rapoport, for breaking the news. I always watch breaking news, and this is Adam Schefter or Ian Rapoport, and I always be like, man, I'll take credit for all that if I were them, because who's watching both networks to know who said what, like at what time? So I always thought this would be a bigger issue earlier than it is right now. So now it's in the news. Let's watch how they beef it out. Okay, so the article links the word reported to Rapoport's tweet, which shows the clause on the adjusted contract for Jimmy G. Ooh, they going far. So now they're not just saying he said it or they're saying it. They're actually attaching it to written. That ain't the smart move. The problem, his tweet is quoting Pro Football Talk's tweet. You got Ian Rapoport quoting the tweet from Mike Florio. Uh-oh, y'all got caught. So Florio, he went to his Twitter account. You know that little dude will. Others can report the transactions that are going to be announced anyway, often within minutes. Our goal will always be to find the stuff they don't want you to know. Ah, look at him. He jabbing. He see that opening right now, so he just going to punch. Integrity over here, authenticity over here. Now, a Twitter user brought it to Florio's attention that Rapoport was being credited for breaking the news and not himself. And remember, the NFL Network is owned by the NFL, so Florio took issue with not being properly accredited. I try not to let this crap bother me anymore. Well, try harder, because it doesn't look like you're trying hard right now. Because it will never stop happening. Wow. But we dug up the only real news that anyone has reported this weekend. A significant story all parties involved had hidden for weeks. And NFL.com pretends their guy broke it. Damn. Last layer of this is other Twitter users pointed out a mistake in Florio's tweet, and some even said he was not even the first to report the news either. What do you make of this? I tell you what I make of this right now. I make of this a funnel, and y'all know how a funnel looks, right? They're all going to the same place, but then trying to make this thing seem like it's only coming to them, only coming from them. But they're all going to the same place, because you got to think, if you got an insider on any organization within any of the borders of an organization, let's just say that guy might have loose lips. And he may tell you, but why are you in priority to telling somebody else? First thing you would say is relationship. Yeah, but the only thing that's going to trump the relationship in this situation is the information, right? So if the information you want out, that's why you start a relationship with a reporter. If you don't want information out, that's just your boy, but I'm never going to give you anything. So once I give it to one, what's stopping me if I really just want this out to not take it to them as well, right? It's called a runner. Loose lips sink ships. So should you be offended? Professionally, I can see why you're offended, because obviously this is in part how they make their name, how they make their dough. Because if you're the one breaking inside information, if you're the one going the next layer deeper, oh, you're going to get a reputation for doing your job better. So I get that part. But it also hits you in the ego, too. Like, damn, dog. Like, I did that work. I'm the one that took the risk that potentially this story could just blow up in my face. And you're going to get some of the credit. Like, if you're not going to take the risk, you shouldn't get none of the reward. Simple as that. So are we going to expect an apology? Because do not act like this just happened by accident. Nothing worse than when you catch somebody and they act like, oh, my bad. I ain't even know, dog. Come on, man. We getting paid to do this. Now you don't know. And How did you even get the information? Did you get it before me? Why didn't you put it out before me? Oh, you got it after me. So you got it after me, why'd you want credit for it? One way or the other, you're gonna have to announce what your true intentions are. So I look at this situation for what it is. Mike Florio, he says a lot of stuff. Some of it objective, a lot of it is his own opinion. And sometimes you have to figure out which one is more in balance, right? Because sometimes it's an article, you're like, oh, wow, that's just Florio talking about what he feels. And sometimes it is just pertinent information, objective and all. So in this situation, I don't expect any apology because I don't think anybody gonna kick up enough dust for this to become a bigger story. That said, thought it was interesting that these guys out there all trying to act like they're the ones that's first in line when they're all just in the same line, hoping that they're first. All right, y'all, you know we finished this show with a Wiley-ism. Adversity caused some men to break and others to break records. Yes, adversity causes some men to break and others to break records. Man, woo, this world without adversity, it'd be smooth sailing, wouldn't it? And I swear I raise my hand every day. Make it easier on me, God. I'm tired, boss. I've been through too much. But at the same time, it just makes you a better person. It rounds out your integrity and your character. Like, if no matter what you're going through, no matter what your opinion is on something, for it to be challenged is a beautiful thing. We were talking earlier about the transgender conversation. The challenge in that conversation needs to be heard. The opposing side needs to be heard so we could come to a better informed decision. But to silence the other side, just to smooth the pavement, to say my side wins, my side rules, is not a full conversation. It's not a true dialogue. Therefore, you're not getting the best version with the intelligence. So I love the fact that there is adversity. The mastermind of this world was basically like, nah, you're going to have to go through some stuff to prove that you really wanted it and to prove to you how valuable it was worth attaining. So love it for what it is, even though I hate adversity. Oh, God. Oh, just give it to me easy, right? Who wants to fight for their food? Just give it to me. Just serve it to me, right? So remember, no matter what you're going through, adversity causes some men to break, others to break records. All right, y'all. That'll do it for More to It. Check the show notes for all the information on our topics today. Today! Want to keep the conversation going? Let's talk. Find me on all socials at Marcellus Wiley. More to It is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, Dad Dude Entertainment, and Workhouse Media. The show is executive produced by Dan Patrick, Marcellus Wiley, Paul Anderson, and Nick Pinella. Thanks for all the love, ratings, and subscriptions, and reviews, membership to Wiley's World on YouTube. Keep it coming because there's more coming from More to It. Talk to y'all hella soon. Go.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL Draft is right around the corner, and the Move the Six podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. The show's hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks.
When it comes to Detroit and the draft, Move the Sticks is the podcast that will answer all of your questions. Who should you put in your mock draft? Don't worry, tune in and you'll be ready to watch the draft like a scout.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.